What's going on?
Take a break. Get away from it for a while. You don't want to look at the stuff.
push yourself, especially if your eyes are tired, you're not going to be seeing and looking for what you're normally looking at. You're going to get sidetracked.
Yeah.
They've done psychological tests in the past where they've done studies about attention spans, and when you're tired, your attention span just starts dropping left and right. So always review evidence and do it when your mental work cracks.
What?
Don't fall asleep.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So hey, let's start from the beginning here. Lisa, we'll start with you. I have OCD, so I do a lot of things in alphabetical order. So I just did that. Your name starts with L, and then we'll move on to the S's.
Okay.
It kind of helps. It keeps me really organized. So it's all good. So Lisa, when did you first start noticing that you were having an interest in the paranormal? Like, what was the experiences that got you into the field?
Actually, I'm not one of those that had things happen to me as a child. I never lived in a haunted house. I never had any of those things happen to me that got me started in this. When I was in high school, which was way back in the mid-70s, I started getting into spiritualism and stuff, and I was reading things that were talking about reincarnation and life after death and stuff like that, and that really intrigued me, and I took it to heart because it just made sense. So in thinking about life after death, you got to thinking about, well, what happens if they, you know, where do they go if they don't cross over and kind of thing. So I've always believed that there were spirits around, you know, because I do believe in life after death. I don't think that our energy just dissipates and disappears, you know. So that's where I got my start. I actually wanted to get into parapsychology, but back then, that was really not taboo, but it was just kind of outside the lines, you know, and it was really hard to find anything on it.
You'd go to the library and you'll find old books about ghost stories and photographs, but you didn't really find anything about what the paranormal investigator really does or how to go about helping other people.
Yeah, it was still outside the box back then. You know, you just didn't do it, you know. At least you didn't hear about it.
That's true. And only to more recent days, we have a really good, veteran investigators writing books and giving advice out there. And I really appreciate that. When I come across them at the seminars or we're talking, just different theories and stuff, and, you know, it's always great to talk to some of these pioneers, so to speak, and find out what they did and how they survived and what the advantages are, you know.
Yeah, I have to admit that once the show started up, you know, of course, with Ghost Hunters, of course, I was just all over it watching it, and I thought, you know, I don't know why I couldn't do this, and I'm sure a lot of people get that same thought. Why can't I do this? And so it was a matter of visiting a couple of different teams to find one that kind of matched my way of thinking about it all. And then we ran into Don Duncan, who founded the team. And he just really had a whole different approach to it than anything I had seen. And it just made sense to me. So that's why I teamed up with this particular outfit.
Oh, cool. So he knows a lot of stuff about this kind of stuff, you can tell, you know.
About what?
And he was the founder of the team, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So, Sandy.
Yeah.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, same question to you. What was, like, the original thoughts and when you started really getting an interest in the paranormal? Like we were saying, a lot of people have their stories when they were kids or they lived in a haunted house or something happened. What was your interest and how did you get started in the paranormal field?
Well, when growing up, it was just a daily conversation in our house. My mother was psychic. And from the beginning, I had a lot of experiences. happening around me. A lot of her friends were psychics, interested also in the paranormal. So basically I grew up with it. We did live in some houses that were haunted, and it seemed to, like, follow us every place that we went. And when I was in high school, I did my last book report was on Sasquatch. And so it took off from there.
So you do have an interest in cryptozoology and stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
I have an interest in pretty much all paranormal.
Awesome. And so when did you start investigating in the field?
A couple years ago.
Awesome.
It was really, Sandy and I went to high school together. And after we graduated high school, we kind of lost touch and went our own separate ways and whatnot. And then a couple years ago, we had a high school reunion. Now, you got to understand, our high school was very much outside the box in the 70s. It was often called a school without walls or an alternative high school. So our high school reunion, we hadn't seen any of these kids for 35 years. And we were all hippie stoners, you know, and radical thinkers and nerds, you know, all that kind of stuff. But Sandy and I reconnected at this high school reunion, and we got to talking about ghosts and the paranormal. And Sandy, you know, just jumped right in and said, oh, man, I've always wanted to get involved with that. And so we brought her onto the team.
Nice. So that's a nice reunion.
What?
Nice reunion, then. You get to meet somebody and you get a whole new a new idea and you start doing stuff together. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. And then when we're together, too, we can make jokes about our high school days and, you know, all the crazy things we did. And so it's nice to hang out together again.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been very fun.
How did you guys get hooked up with Flying Monkey?
Well, I was a member of the team, and then I was telling Sandy about it when we reconnected, you know, that I was on a team. And so we just invited her onto the team, and that's how she got involved, you know, with the team.
Okay, let me ask you something. And this is just a conversation I had with somebody recently. How, when you're doing your pre-interview and somebody calls you for a case, how important do you think it is to make sure the clients fill out the questionnaires, get the paperwork back to you before you go into an investigation? The reason why I'm asking is somebody called for an extreme haunting case and needed action right away and didn't have time to fill out paperwork. Do you recommend people doing the paperwork first before you're getting involved? I just want to get your opinion.
Well, we usually do a pre-interview, you know, and I'll go and I'll ask the questions myself and fill out the questionnaire, you know, just by talking to them and get a feel for what the situation might be, you know. And then I don't give any indication as to whether or not I think there's anything going on, because you don't want to pre-program them or put ideas in their head, you know, or say, oh, no, I don't think, you know, you just don't go there. So then I take it back to the team and we discuss it, you know. And then, of course, I do I go over everything with Don and see what he thinks about it and whether or not he thinks it's something we should take on. But, yeah, I think it's real important to talk to the people first, you know. In the case of an emergency thing, though, is that what you're talking about?
Yep.
In an emergency case, well, you know, you got to be careful what you're walking into, that's for sure, you know. I would like to have at least some kind of preliminary information before walking in, that's for sure.
Okay. Cool.
I mean, for safety reasons, if nothing else. Because you're walking into somebody's home, you don't know who these people are. You don't know if it's a ruse just to get you in so they can, you know, flash and stab. Who knows?
Yeah. That is true. I know people that have gone on cases and were temporarily abducted by the homeowner for a while. So.
Yeah. I tell you, I do not want to be a love slave.
Yes. I hear you.
You also want to know if there's drugs involved, and, you know, those sorts of things. You have to know what you're
You do ask those questions, but honestly, they're not going to tell you everything. I've been doing this for 2 decades, and I've come to that realization because there's always something after the fact. You're like, oh, okay. Why didn't you tell me that then? You know, it's like, oh, well, I didn't know you meant that kind. Yeah, I meant every kind. You know.
Do you excuse yourself and go in the bathroom and look in their medicine cabinet?
It's like, okay, what are these in here? You didn't mention these things.
Yeah. What are these toys I see? Oh my God.
Yeah. This is on the list. What's going on here? But yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering about that because I had a conversation with somebody regarding that. You know, that was a pretty crazy case. Children were involved. The police were called out to deal with it and they couldn't do anything. I mean, it's a big, big thing. And it's,
I haven't been doing this for very long either, you know, compared to you and a lot of my friends out there that have been doing this for a long time. So there's still a lot that I have to learn, and Sandy too, but I have to say that it's because of you guys and because of knowing that you're out there and knowing of your experiences and stuff that I have learned a lot already just from listening to people out there in the field.
And that's what I'm saying. It's always great to see somebody or hang out and talk to somebody about different opinions and different ideas. You know, they keep like, oh, well, a couple weeks ago this happened and we had to deal with this. And you're like, oh, wow. It's good to know that. Then you kind of get prepared in case that scenario does come up.
That's right. That's right. Listen and learn.
That's right.
But unfortunately, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You start.
You go. I was going to say, it seems to me, though, now the from what I can see up here in the little bit of time that I've been up here, the teams up here, and I don't know if it's like that down in Southern Cal, but here everybody's kind of in their own little world and they don't socialize too much and there's not a lot of paranormal unity up here. I mean, we're out of the loop as far as all the paradrama and all that crap goes. But it's because we don't socialize with any other groups from up here. We've just recently joined for an evening with PPRS. They were down there at Glen Tavern, and that's how we found them. It's Psychic Paranormal Research Society up here. And so we're going to kind of hook up with them once in a while, and that's great. But I was going to say, it seems to me like there's just a lot more to investigate down there than there is up here. But we don't get as much as we would like.
Really? There's a lot of stuff up there. I drive by there all the time and check out stuff.
Where do you go?
Different places. Have you talked to the town historian?
The what?
The town historian.
What, here in Sac?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. We've gone to Old Sac quite a few times, though. I mean, because Old Sac is, like, crazy with it, but it's a matter of getting down there when it's quiet, you know?
The deal is you want to meet up with the town historian. You want to make that guy your best friend because he'll tell you everything that happened everywhere. Lucky for me, my town historian is Richard Sennett. So he knows everything about California and all the crazy haunted places. And every time I talk to him about anything, he's got some kind of story about it. And he's got stories about stuff they won't even print. They won't even put in the libraries or in paper.
That'd be cool.
All I know, I've been invited to go check out this house, blah, blah, blah. He'd be like, oh yeah. In 1946, it was a hospice and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? They never told us that. He'll tell you all kinds of facts. So, definitely recommend it for those paranormal investigators out there that are getting started. Go talk to the town historian. Make that guy your buddy. Put him on speed dial because he'll help
you. I'll do that.
And half the time, those guys have keys to those places. Richard, he can just go up there and leave us Adobe because he's got a set of keys and go in and do whatever he wants. It's crazy.
Well, you know, up here, the one place that I think a lot of people would like to get into that I'm pretty sure we can't because it's privately owned now, is the Dorothea Fuentes house. Because that's right here in Sac. That's right here downtown. Do you remember that story?
Yeah. Have you guys gone to that place yet?
You can't get in there. It's a private residence. They're not allowing any investigations or anything like that in there. They allowed one person one time, and that was Nancy Bradley.
Wow.
And as far as I know, they're not letting anybody in there.
And, of course, it's privately owned, so you really can't work a deal with them.
That's right. But and Old Sac, too, you know, there's stories abound in Old Sac. You talk to people that work in, like we were in the Pizza Hut down there, and we just decided to ask them about it, you know. And the manager was saying, oh, yeah, we got this and this and this, you know. People will tell you stories, but it's really hard to get in there to investigate, mostly because you have to go in after closing, and that means that somebody has to stay there. There's the tunnels, of course, underground in Old Sac, but they're very limited, and they won't let you go in there alone unless your name starts with a Z, you know, that kind of a thing. So it's frustrating because I know that the history is there, and I know that the spirits are there. The first time I went on an underground tour, I got it set up so the team could go. This was a couple years ago. On the underground tour in Old Sac, and we were walking through this one part that they had all ready for you to walk through, and I got hit with this vision of this gentleman leaning up against the wall wearing a hat. He was a cowboy, and I got hit with this vision of this guy leaning up against the wall with his arms crossed, and he was just chuckling to himself and shaking his head like, what a bunch of idiots. And it actually was a strong enough image that I giggled along, too. It made me stop in my tracks. So I know that there's things down there. There's people down there. There's energy there.
There's like an old Victorian woman walking around there, too, I've heard.
That's what they say. But I tend to want to get to places that haven't been so investigated. I want to find fresh, new, unexplored, you know. I want to be Ghost Trekker, you know.
She wants a real adventure.
A real adventure, that's right.
That's cool. Have you guys gone to the old cemetery? Old City Cemetery?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, we have a story about that one, too.
What's the story? Tell me about it.
You don't mind talking, do you?
What?
I said, you don't mind my carrying on, do you?
I'm interviewing you. You're supposed to be carrying on.
Oh, well, you know, I didn't want to, you know. I know some people that take over shows, you know.
Well, that's cool. If they got something to say that's going somewhere, I'll tell them to take over the show. If they hit a strike on a point that I want to make a reference to, then I cut in and say, well, blah, 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 this is an example of blah, blah, blah. You know, so that's how much it works. I'm trying to ask you these questions so we can get to these stories.
Ah, okay, so I can continue now?
Go ahead.
We decided to go to the Sacramento City Cemetery. I have done a little homework on that because I am the case manager, and I do love digging for the history and the points of interest and stuff. I love that. And of course, they had the what was that where everybody got sick? It wasn't typhoid. What was it? Tuberculosis? No, what was it?
Or tuberculosis?
It might have been tuberculosis, but they lost, like, I'm sorry?
Smallpox?
No, it was like tuberculosis or something. It was way before the influenza. They lost, 1,200, 1,300 people, and there was a mass grave.
Oh, yeah, tuberculosis. It was like, it was almost like our plague.
Yeah. And it also, you know, there was numerous floods and a couple of great big fires, and a lot of people have died down there. And but at the cemetery, there's a mass grave down there for all these victims of this illness. And we decided, Sandy and I, just, you know, for something to do, went down there with a couple of recorders and tried to get some EVPs and stuff. come back home, and I had one. Oh, is that too, the Spanish American War too? But I got this EVP, and it was a gravelly voice of a man, and he said, "Oh, we were asking, did you come to California, or were you born and raised here?" Kind of a thing, you know, figuring out if they were travelers, settlers that had come out. And I got this voice, and it said, "Take me home." And I was like, "Oh my God!" You know, this guy wanted to go home, and so another weekend or two went by, and we went back. And I know a little bit about opening a doorway to allow them to cross over and this kind of thing. So I felt really obligated to try and get this guy home, you know, because he asked specifically to go home. And so I opened up a doorway. Basically, it looked like a doorway with big red velvet curtains like you would see back in the 1880s or something. And I opened up these curtains and I said, "Okay, anybody that needs to go, you go." And in my third eye, I had a line of people waiting to go through, you know. And so hopefully it worked and he got to cross over, you know. But there's some interesting things out there.
You also have to make sure that you close the door.
Oh, yeah, close the door. Say a prayer. You know, so. Interesting place.
And that was down in the cemetery, or where was that at?
That was Sacramento City Cemetery. They've got, let's see, Ulysses S. Grant is buried there, and James Marshall is buried there. Mr. Crocker from the Crocker Art Gallery. The big four were here. The big four that had to do with the Transcontinental Railroad. They're all here. They're all from here, and so a lot of them are buried out there. It's an interesting place.
That sounds cool. What about have you guys talked to the? What about the library? I know the library is supposed to be haunted up there.
There is a story about one of the rooms at the library. I have asked them about getting in for an investigation, but again, they said, you know, if it's after hours, we can't do it. So we have talked about just kind of going in there and sneaking in a recorder or two and, you know, seeing if we can pick something up.
Well, I'm going to tell you, this is a huge. When you're starting off as an investigative team and you're going to all these historical places that, you know, have a reputation, blah, 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 you don't want to go in there and say, "Can we come in and do a paranormal investigation of this location, blah, blah, blah." Because the first reaction is they're going to think, "Oh, my God, no." If you find out that place is haunted, I'm going to get a bad reputation, blah, blah. So what I do and the people on my team do is we go in and say, we'd like to talk about getting access to the building. We are doing some research, and we're going to be doing a documentary on this location. So you approach it as a historical documentary or an historical investigation. Say we're gathering evidence, and we'd like to film in here at night for a couple of hours, blah, blah, blah. Then they kind of open up a little bit and drop their guard and say, "Well, okay, that doesn't sound that bad, you know." It's a whole different perspective. You go in there saying, "I want to investigate if you have ghosts or not," they're not going to let you in.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen this done a billion times. So that's why I started doing that, and I've had a lot more access to a lot of amazing places. So,
well, what kind of evidence are you hoping to gather? What do you say to that?
What do you mean? You're not going in there and looking for evidence. You're saying you're going to be doing a documentary or a historical piece on the location. I used to go in there and say I was writing stories, and I did. I used to write columns for a couple of paranormal magazines.
Uh-huh.
And I would just say I'm doing a historical piece on this location. And they'd be like, "Oh, really? Oh, cool." And I would talk to them about, you know, certain things and, you know, especially in hotels. I'd go in there talking about doing I want to bring a couple people in to film, you know, this place, take a couple pictures, this kind of stuff. Because, you know what, when you're actually doing the investigation, they don't know what you're doing. they don't really have a clue. And we just start filming, and we'll just bring out the meters and kind of go through, do some room sweeps. I was just in a hotel, a famous haunted hotel, one day, just going in there to check out, to hang out in the lobby and take a couple of pictures. And the girl behind the counter asked me what I was doing, and I told her exactly that. And she goes, oh, okay. Then I asked her about room 17, which is a really famous haunted room. I said, I heard that's got a pretty crazy reputation. I wish I could get in there and film that. And she's like, oh, well, here's the keys. I'll take you up there.
Oh, wow.
So she was like, yeah. I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, we'll go up there. So she goes there, she opens the door, opens the closets. I started doing a photo sweep, just doing some pictures. And I got two great images that day. One, I was walking by the bathroom, and I could feel like some kind of energy or something going on in the bathroom. And I'm like, okay, she's hiding in the bathroom. So I casually walked by, not even looking at the bathroom. I just kind of picked my camera, and I put my arm out, and I faced it towards the bathroom, right at the door, and snapped a picture and walked outside. Lo and behold, as I look back at the picture, there's a mist. It's almost like a fruit roll-up rolling itself up in this little tornado thing, and I got a shot of her, de-manifesting.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then I got another picture of the bed, and there was an indent on the bed, right? Like somebody sitting there, and the pillow's kind of squished or whatever, and you can totally see like someone's got their butt on the bed, a pattern. And I took a picture of that, and I blew it up. You can see her indention on the bed, but you can't see anything there. But if you look at the TV, you can see her reflection sitting on that spot in the bed on the TV.
Oh, wow.
Wow,
yeah,
that's great.
It's just that simple. It's all about how you word stuff, and people just open their doors for you and say, oh, okay, that sounds interesting. Here, check it out.
Well, we've been wanting to get into the... I'm sorry.
I was saying, just a word of advice for those out there.
What's that?
Just a word for those who are listening out there. It's just something to think about.
Yeah, well, that's good advice for us, too, because sometimes we have a hard time going to places we want to go because I'm, honest.
Yeah.
But, but whatever works, Like, we've been, I have a real interest in getting into the old train depot, because we've got Amtrak running out there now. The building's been there since the 20s, and I think it's got a lot of energy there. And I would really want to go in there and investigate. And I was so bold as to actually send an email to the station manager and told him exactly what I wanted, and I never heard from him. So.
And you wanted to investigate ghosts and stuff like that?
I think I said a paranormal investigation, but again, I kind of like the idea of just going in and sitting down and maybe taking some pictures and stuff like that. I think somebody would probably ask us what we were doing, and we could probably work it that way. I'll have to think about that.
Well, I mean, you're not really lying to them. You're just putting it from a different perspective, because you're doing an investigation and you're doing research on a location.
Yeah, that's
true. Just take the whole ghost factor out of it, and they'll let you do it.
Well,
I'll
try that.
A historical piece, and I'm writing about my experience here at this location, and it's awesome. I've gone to hotels and stayed in hotels, and they'll go like, the manager will knock on the door and bring me some free this or that and hang out, and just because they know I'm writing an article piece on this hotel or whatever. They think,
you
oh, I got to I gotta get them good service, so we'll get good ratings and blah blah blah.
Are you booking a room at the hotel?
If I'm gonna do an overnight investigation, totally. Yeah, I've done that.
See, we could do that at the Delta King. Delta King won't allow investigations either, but I thought about doing that, booking a room and staying overnight and just doing our own thing and not even letting them know what we're doing.
Yeah. In the middle of the night, just take a couple of meters and walk down the hallway, get your night vision camera, just see what you never know.
That's true. That makes it more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes it sneaky and sneaky.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll take any advice. We'll listen to everything and because, I mean, we still are, you know, really new at this and comparatively. And I don't know everything. God, you know, people may think otherwise, but I don't. So I'm always open to suggestion, that's for sure.
Yeah, just tell me, just how you're doing an investigation. Like, let's see, Richard Trenton. Richard Trenton Chase. You know who that guy is?
The name sounds familiar, but I can't think of why.
In Sacramento, he was a serial killer that was accused of drinking blood.
Yeah, okay.
So he was known as the Sacramento Vampire.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, you could do a, you could say you're doing a piece on, like a historical piece on those events, and go to the victims' houses and stuff, and you know, see what you could dig up. Dude, that's pretty cool.
That play on words, Stefan. Well, you know, I got to reading some news articles not long ago about people that were found in different places in town that were hung, you know. And so I found like four or five places in the news where people were found dead by hanging in areas that are public access. One was at an elementary school. One's out at the nature reserve. There was another one out on the river. You know, and I thought, why couldn't we just go to these places after looking up these news articles, go to these places and sit there and see if we can't find something, you know? So I do kind of like to think outside the box sometimes, but, you know, I'm old. I don't, my mind doesn't always, you know, work, you know, real bright. So I have
That's
moments of greatness. There you go.
That's all good. So what do you guys have planned in the future? What do you guys have? Any cases lined up? You're doing some residentials?
Not right now. We just got finished with a residential in Woodland, which is just west of town here by about, you know, 12, 15 miles. She called us because she's a bit of a sensitive, and she was getting these images and seeing apparitions and stuff. And so we went out there, and they were in the process of moving, so she actually just left us the key and said, make yourself at home, stay the night if you want. And so we stayed the night, and we got a few EVPs, some really good EVPs. One thing that was odd about them is that all three of us got the same EVPs, which I thought was a little odd. And so we went back and did another EVP session. Because between the first time and the second time, I was actually able to do a little bit more research and get a name, you know, a couple of names of the property owners. This woman had owned the house for like 60, 70 years, and she just died in 1984. So we used that as a trigger and whatnot, and we ended up getting a really good flashlight conversation and some confirmation and stuff. So I'm looking forward to going back to this gal for the review and maybe validating a little bit of her, some of the images that she was getting.
Huh.
And then, of course, let's see. Today we were going over the footage today. We may have a couple of things lined up, a couple more residentials out there. They, you know, were asking us questions and stuff, so now we're waiting for them to see if they want to go through with it, because sometimes it takes a lot for people to just even inquire, you know, without feeling self-conscious about it, or that people are going to think they're weird. And we do try to put people at ease about that and tell them that we are very discreet and whatnot. So we're waiting on those to manifest. And then, of course, we've got StuCon coming up in August. That's what we're mostly waiting for, is to get out there. And then in September, what's Doug's last name? McConaughey or something like that? Doug Conahan.
You talking about Doug?
Yeah, he's doing a Paracon at Preston Castle here, which is just outside of town. It's, 20 miles away. So we're going to be there for that.
Huh. You guys are going to Las Vegas Paracon then?
Well, you know, I'm saving all my pennies for StuCon, and I have to work weekends, so I can only get so many weekends off, you know. But so StuCon's my thing.
That'll be like $3.
You're talking about travel and hotel and everything else. I usually work Saturdays, so it's hard for me to get a weekend off.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm taking a whole week off for StuCon because Scott's got some things in the work that's going to be part of StuCon that I get to be a part of. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, Preston. It's always good to get out to Preston. It's pretty awesome out there.
You might be able to look up some other teams, too, out there.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, I'm going to play a quick identification since I got to play the little commercial for Live Paranormal. But for those of you listening, you are listening to My Darkest Hour, and I have Lisa and Sandy from Flying Monkey Paranormal Investigation talking to us. The phone number is, if you want to call in and ask a couple questions, 347-202-0316, and we'll be right back with them.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Listening to My Darkest Hour right here on liveparanormal.com. We're speaking with Lisa and Sandy of Flying Monkey Paranormal based out of Sacramento. Talking a little bit about getting into places, what are techniques and how to get people to let you in to do some investigating. Also talking about what they have currently coming up and a little bit about private residence investigations. So, when you guys go out on an investigation, let's say we're doing a private residence case, about how many days of investigating time do you put into the investigation before you call time to go review some of the evidence?
Yeah, how much time do we actually investigate?
Yep.
Well, just in my experience, we just do it, you know, we give it, just one night is pretty much anybody can give to it. Cause unless there's something that really, really stands out about it, and depending on what kind of activity we have during the night, we'll be there, a minimum of 4 hours, and depending on what's happening, we might be there 6 or 8 hours. But in the experiences that I've had with the team, we haven't had anything that we felt needed to go back and do again, although we did this with Woodland just recently to go back and do another investigation. But typically we've only just spent one night at it. Now, there's a lot of hours doing research after the pre-interview, you know, with the information I get from the pre-interview, I do my research then, and that can take, you know, a week, 2 weeks, you know, well, depending on when we can set it up with the client to go back.
In this particular case, you had to do more research.
Yeah, I had to do more research, and there was a time frame on this one because they had to turn in the keys. They were moving out, so they had a time frame to turn in the keys, so we had to work on that. But and typically between the investigation and the reveal, I try to keep it within 2 weeks. You know, I do have to work, and the clients usually have to work, and so it's a matter of finding time to get together to review the evidence, but I like to get it back to them within 2 weeks, you know, no more than three. I don't like to keep them waiting. Is that about right, or is that too quick, do you think? I don't know. You tell me.
The proper answer is no. There is no real answer. It all depends on the activity you're getting. If it's hot, it's hot. You want to keep it going.
Yeah.
I used to do private residences, and I would go there for a night or so. But then what I started doing is I'm really looking for something to base a comparison on. I was just doing an investigation with all the evidence and blah, blah, blah for an overnight stay. And then I'll review some of that evidence, and then I'll make a date, and I will go back again. If the activity is hot and it's happening concurrently, then I'll just keep investigating and doing whatever I can until the activity dies down.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, definitely.
Extreme cases like that are far and few in between. They do come up once in a while. I'm dealing with one right now, as a matter of fact. But what I'll do is I'll investigate one night, and then I'll look at some of the evidence, and then about the following week or so, I'll make plans to do another trip, and I'll investigate again. And that way I got a comparison level. I've got the investigation from day one compared to investigation day two. What are the differences? What are the evidence that is consecutive? Do I need to go back for a third opinion? If I need to, I'll go with a smaller team and do some testing, try to do some debunking if I can, figure out what's going on to narrow down the activity. There are some cases, and this is pretty much a fact, hauntings can go up and down throughout the year, and they rise more in the fall season of where the Earth is related in our solar system compared to the distance of the sun, and how the seasons have changed because we're moving in this big magnetic field. That's why we have Halloween to begin with, is because during a certain time in the older days, activity was picking up. People were seeing their dead relatives coming back and visiting. They started dressing up in costumes to scare away all the evil spirits. Because in fall, activity does pick up. And I get a buttload of phone calls during August, September, October, especially fading out through November to December. And it's because the activity is so high, but they come in as seasonal haunting some of these places. So I will go out there and I'll spend a week there checking out stuff and keeping a track of what's going on. Then the activity will die down. And then a few weeks before, the same time the next year, I will check in with those people. And I check in with my clients all the time. You know, I'll just come across anywhere, think about them, and I'll call and see how they're doing, anything's happened, anything, they have any questions for me. But with that season, I'll make sure, you know, things are going on. We're here. We're documenting it. We're getting evidence. The haunting seems to be getting weaker. It's fading. It's nothing's going on anymore for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks until the next following season. Things start picking up again. The bathroom, the shower's turning on by itself. Doorbell starting to ring on its own, you know, stuff, weird stuff like that. People seeing shadow, people walking down the hallway. That continues throughout, like I said, like annually, stuff starts happening again and again. And those kind of people I will check in with, like, all the time to see if there's new activity going on all of a sudden. If there is, I'll bring a small team out there and we'll do some more research and do some more documenting.
Oh, yeah, I don't ever leave anybody hanging. We don't like to do that either, so.
No, and nobody really ever does, because you're coming into these people's lives and you're doing this investigation for them and you're really helping them out psychologically.
Yeah,
so you're no longer just a person coming in to hang out. They're seeing you all the time, and when they see you, there's a sign of relief going on, and you almost become like relatives, like cousins coming to visit, that kind of thing. You know, you're with them and you're coming back to visit to check on them. How are you guys doing? They're having a barbecue and everyone's kind of hanging out, having a good time and talking, that kind of stuff. So they actually do become part of your big paranormal family that you come across. And a lot of people that go through a lot of these experiences, they get fascinated by the paranormal. Once they realize they're not really in danger, nothing to be scared of, just this interesting vortex between our world in that really thin veil of the threshold that goes to the next side. It becomes fascinating. A lot of people, that inspires them to become paranormal investigators on their own. I've seen it happen time and time again. Shannon Sylvia, she was
bringing
paranormal investigators to invest in her place. She really learned a lot from it, got excited about it, started doing some stuff, and then she ended up being on TAPS, you know?
Yep.
So you never know who you're going to be working with and who you're coming across. So
right, and that's what it's all about, is helping. You know, that's why we are doing this, is to help people understand what is and isn't going on. Because people nowadays, with all the information they've got coming at them, can always assume the worst. They always assume the worst first. You know, and I'm enough of a skeptic as well as a believer that I'm going to look at it, you know, realistically and try to figure out what it isn't before I'm going to say what it is. But it's all about helping them and helping them understand.
That's our whole mission of our team, is to help people. It's not that we want to prove that there's ghosts out there, because we know there is. We just want to help.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, as far as trying to prove that ghosts exist or there's life after death, it's already there. We know this.
Yeah.
We talk to them. We photograph. We document it. We've been doing it for years. There's no more guessing. Now it's all about getting the right kind of help and the right kind of understanding and helping people taking back their normal lives and understanding that it's not really paranormal. It's actually normal. It's not even normal. It's super normal because it's part of everyday nature.
Yeah. Maybe it's a water heater, you know, and you're getting all upset about, you know, about nothing.
I mean, look at elementals or nature spirits. Nature spirits.
We've come across those. One time we came across a water elemental.
And those have been around before mankind. So it's like, you know, everything's got some kind of energy matter that's conscious and a spiritual matter that is a conscious electrical stimuli. There's no theories that prove that it doesn't exist. There's a lot more theories nowadays that prove that it's possible, and these are the theories, and the scientists even believe this stuff now. So it's all coming together.
And like
nature spirits, we come across these things, and it's just magnificent and powerful, and just we're in awe of this kind of stuff. And it all exists, so it's not really paranormal anymore. It's actually
right.
Normal. We're just not used to seeing it in everyday life.
That's right.
So, what are you guys' opinion on that?
What's that? Oh, Sandy's giving me notes here.
It's all good.
About the energy and the elementals and stuff. You know, Don, the founder of our team, practices shamanism, Native American shamanism, for the last 6 or 7 years, and he's teaching us even in a spiritual class about energies and stuff like that. So we can use that, you know, what we're learning about spiritualism and energy, and, you know, we're all one energy and that kind of thing. We use that too in trying to, you know, communicate with the energies and spirits that we come across, you know. So, yeah, it's not paranormal anymore. It really isn't.
Yeah, exactly. So, since we're talking and we've got about 5 minutes or so left, people that are listening out there might want to know how to get a hold of your team. How does somebody go about getting in contact with you guys?
Well, of course, we always have the website. It's flyingmonkeypi.com. Is the website, flyingmonkeypi.com, and we have my contact information and Don's contact information there, and you can get a hold of us that way. You can always get a hold of us on Facebook. We do have a Facebook page, Flying Monkey Paranormal, and then, of course, you can always find me on there. Just look for Spunky Monkey. Find me in a chat room. I'm in all the other chat rooms, so, you know, there's ways to do it, so...
Awesome.
That wonder about the name, because, you know, you haven't asked us about the name. Don actually came up with Flying Monkey because in his studies under religion and theology and shamanism, in Indonesian cultures, the flying monkey is a totem or a spirit that guards children while they're sleeping and keeps the spirits away from them so they can travel back from their dreams safely. So that's where we got the name.
Huh. Yeah, I put that in the chat room. People were asking about that.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with Oz or Wicked Witches or anything like that.
Yeah, some people are like, did anybody tell the Wicked Witch about this?
Yeah. Well, you know,
I've got to get the kids.
We've got door magnets on our cars, and it says "funny name, serious business." You know, because it does stand out. It's, you know, and that's another reason I like it, because it stands out. It's different. So.
Totally different.
Sorry.
Really cool.
Yeah. What was that?
What are you guys going to be going to the next? What's your next paranormal con you're going to go to?
The next Paracon won't be until StuCon. It's not going to be until StuCon.
Great. Yeah, that'll be fun.
And we'll see you there, right?
Well, yeah. Scott's probably going to do a StuCon unless I'm there, I'm sure.
That's right. He'll wait for you.
Yeah. Me and Scott have a great relationship. We've been friends for a long time.
I love
really?
Him. We go down
I
there,
really
you know,
fun.
We go down there just for shits and grins, you know, down there to visit him, you know, so it's pretty cool being friends with him.
Yeah, I'm supposed to go up there and hang out with him and do some stuff. He wants to do some filming. I had some ideas, some great gifts, and he wants to do something with them.
Did you see Todd's post that Dead Files filmed down there at the Wolf Manor?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to air at the end of May. I can't wait for that. That'll be great.
Well, yeah, I'd love to get back in there, but I don't know what Todd's planning on doing with the place. We'll have to see what's going on.
Yeah, Scott says no more, so who knows?
Yeah, well, Todd says that, but then Todd will, like, kind of lighten up a little bit and want to have some fun, and so let some people go in there and just run around and have a good time. But
I think he could make money if he would let people do it, you know.
Well, yeah.
But at the same time, I always feel bad about imposing on the spirits. You know, I don't want to overrun them. I don't want to impose, you know, by having people come in all the time.
Yeah.
I do respect them in that manner, you know. I just don't want to do that to them.
Yeah. You definitely got to give a lot of respect. And what's sad about places as active as that I've had so many investigators coming and going, it's like, you know, these ghosts feel like they're kind of a tourist attraction, and they don't want to really get into that.
Yeah, I even feel bad about asking them to tap on the wall or something. I really don't want to make them feel like I'm asking them to do pony tricks. But,
yeah.
You know, you have to establish some form of communication. But other than that, I really don't want to make them feel like they're having to perform for me.
Yeah. That's like when I go to a place like that, I will start doing an EVP by asking completely random questions that are not the same questions they've asked a lot of times. I'll just come up with my own bizarre stuff and see if I can get a reaction.
Yeah. Talk to them like you're having coffee with them.
I've even gone to investigations and brought my guitar and played my guitar for the ghosts and stuff, just to keep them entertained, you know. And
oh,
I've
yeah.
Actually, I've drawn up activities out there before.
Yeah, music's great. I love using music. I love using music for a trigger.
Yeah, it's cool. It's different. They react to it better because it's much cooler.
Yeah, everybody does. It's universal, you know.
That's right.
You rock, Stefan.
All right, you guys, we got to wrap. We're coming into the last of the hour. I want to thank you guys both very much for being on my show.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Hope to see you guys again real soon. We'll get together and do
some stuff.
I'm going to be doing a paranormal trip to New Mexico, but I'm going to try to plan something for up north. If something comes around,
bring it up here.
I'd like to give you guys a call and hang out, and you guys come with us.
Oh, that's great.
All right, you
looking
guys.
Forward to it.
All right, you guys. Thanks so much. You've been listening
all
to
right,
My Drunken
Dollar.
You too. On LifeParanormal.com, and that was Alisa and Sandy from Flying Monkey Paranormal Investigations. Go ahead and check out their website. If you have any questions, go ahead and email them. We'll talk to you guys soon. I want to thank you all for hanging out this week on the show, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.